what is your name, sir?
My name is Paul Wintour, Charlie, that taught me this, pulled my shoes a long ago.
Well, you pulled your tooth. Well, we hope that you can go through this hearing and we won't put you in any more pain, sir. Okay, sir. The Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson is going to conduct your hearing at this time, so just hold on to the phone, sir.
Good morning, sir. Could you just state your full name and your ADC number for us for the record?
Yes, sir. My name is Paul William. My ADC number is 179109.
What is your number again?
179109.
Okay, thank you, sir. And pronounce that first name for me again. Let me know your last name again.
Paul. Logan.
Logan, okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so you're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. I'm going to introduce you to the board members conducting your hearing this morning. To my far left, your right, is the Honorable Luis Quinones. Coming down the line is the Honorable David Neal. In the middle, you have our board chair, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright. To my immediate left is the Honorable Mrs. Gail Rittenhouse. My name is Michael Johnson. I'm going to be acting as your hearing lead today, sir. Also with us today, sir, representing the Department of Corrections, as well as your parole officer, is Mr. Turner, sir. I believe you can see Mr. Turner on the screen now.
Yes, sir.
Sir, prior to your hearing today, you signed a notification form that advised you that you're going to have this board's hearing today. You recall signing that form, sir?
No, sir. I don't remember giving that form, but... I might have been working up and just not realizing, sir, honestly.
Okay, it looks like that
all of the paperwork that they have me signed, they still haven't covered. I haven't been given any of my paperwork yet, still to this day.
Okay,
looks like you signed something I didn't get the chance to read it, sir.
All right, well, okay, it looks like you signed this form on March 5th of this year, 2019, you signed this form. On that form, sir, what it did, you don't recall signing a form, or what are you saying to me?
Sir, they had me sign a whole bunch of paperwork and put it in my folder, and also I'll be giving it to it later, and I still haven't got it. They said I have to get a hold of the CO3 to get that paperwork. We just had a new CO3 to sign that I've been asking them about it, sir.
Okay, so were you aware that you were going to have this hearing today?
No, sir, I was not. This is the first I found out about when he came to my cell and let me know.
Okay. Well, sir, you signed this form that notified that you were going to have this hearing on March 5th of 2019. This is a revocation hearing for you, sir. Do you want to go ahead and continue this hearing, or what do you want to do, sir?
Yes, sir, I would like to try to get out if possible.
Okay, well, sir, on that form that you signed, it notifies you of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or to hire a licensed attorney to represent you at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney or are you representing yourself today, sir?
No, I'd like to represent myself.
Okay. Sir, at this time, I'd like to swear you and Mr. Turner in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm? Mr. Logan?
Yes, I do. Yes, sir, I do.
Okay. So your hearing is going to be conducted in two phases. In phase one, the board will make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate you on your community supervision. In phase two, the board will make a determination. Phase one, the board will make a determination whether the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. In phase two, the board would make a decision whether to revoke or reinstate you on your community supervision. We're going to start out at phase one, sir. You have one allegation listed on your warrant. I'm going to read that allegation to you. When I read you the allegation, I need you to state whether the allegation is true or false. Do you understand what I'm requesting, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay. The allegation on your warrant states that you're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision Number 2, as demonstrated by your failure to follow the directives of your assigned parole officer by failing to report in for a face-to-face contact visit on January 14, 2019. As verbally directed on January 11, 2019, says that your whereabouts are unknown, were unknown, and you were absconded from supervision. Is that true or false, sir?
No, that was completely true, sir. I was off my psych medication to make keep me stable, as they know I'm seriously mentally ill. If I don't have my current medications, I don't know sometimes who I am or where I'm at, and I ended up going County Mental Facilities, and it was one of my friends that is a military veteran that actually told me to come back in and let me know what was going on, and I called my county, and they told me that there was a warrant out for my arrest, and I was like, they found that out. I went in person.
Mr. Logan?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I'm gonna go ahead and move this from phase one to phase two, and then give you opportunity to discuss that further, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. Based on the admission of Mr. Logan, I'm going to move to find that he was delinquent as he did violate the terms and conditions of his supervision, and he had lapsed or may have lapsed into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agreed.
Motion by myself, second by Ms. Rittenhouse. Agreed, Mr. Quinones, Mr. Moore, Dr. Wright. Okay, so we're going to go into phase two of your hearing. During phase two, the board will make a determination, as I told you earlier, to either revoke or reinstate you in your community supervision. We're going to start out phase two with first getting some additional information from Mr. Turner, and then I'm going to go over some information with you in the warrant, and then give you the opportunity, sir, to finish giving the board any information that you may feel that's relevant to your case, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, Mr. Turner.
Yes, sir. Logan was released from ADC custody on 10/13/2017. And arrested on 2/20/2019 by ADC in a tech violation. He was a self-surrender. No new charges were noted. He returned back to ADC custody on 2/20/2019 with an adjusted CSED of 5/23/2019 with 37 abscond days. Current conviction, 2008, kidnapping, 10 years, 6 months. Prior convictions, 2003, commitment A, count 1, burglary, third degree, 2 years, 6 months. 2003, commitment B, count 1, theft, means of transportation, 3 years, 6 months. 2003, commitment B, count 2, burglary, third degree, 3 years, 6 months. 2003, commitment B, count 3, burglary, third degree, 3 years, 6 months. 2003, commitment B, count 4, theft, 1 year, 6 months. 2003, commitment B, count 5, escape, second degree, 1 year, 6 months. 2003, commitment B, count 7, forgery, 2 years, 6 months. This is his second term in ADC with a CUIR score of 4.4, mental health score of 3, substance abuse score of 2. STG information, he is a suspected member of the criminal street gang Hells Angels. Prior terms of supervision, 2007, TIS release, completed, 8 months. Disciplinary is significant with drugs, weapons, violence, and arson noted. Other arrests, 1995, fraudulent schemes and artifacts in Mexico, felony conviction, state prison. 1998, forgery, New Mexico, felony conviction, state prison. 2001, forgery, New Mexico, felony conviction, state prison. He has a GB score of G7,
V8. Thank you, Mr. Turner. And so I see that on October 13th, 2017, that you were released to community supervision from Lewis. You was approved to stay at 2501 West Adams Street. Then it looks like shortly after that, on October 27th, you were transferred to Vivray and Scottsdale location, 808 North 74th Street in Scottsdale. You were placed at a New Journey located at 1707 North 18th Avenue in January of 2018. And then it looks like on February 14th, you were discharged from a New Journey. You were approved to reside at Church on the Street at 4006 West Van Buren. And then it looks like on 227, you were approved to reestablish residence at V-Way located at 2501 West Elm Street. And then on May 24th, you were approved to reside at Extended Hand Outreach located at 3338 West King Avenue in Phoenix, Arizona. Looks like on June 13th of 2018, you established residence at Yodondo, located at 12-12318 North Scottsdale Drive in El Mirage. Looks like on June 18th, You were placed at CAS, located at 230 South 12th Avenue. Then on July 10th of 2018, you established residence at TLC, located at 745 West Dana Avenue. Then looks like on July 19th, you established East Valley Man Center, 2345 North Country Club Drive in Mesa, Arizona. Looks like on September 6th, you went to residence at Step One Halfway House in Phoenix. Then on September 11th, you were approved again to reside at CAS at 230 South 12th Avenue. Looks like on November 8th, you were approved to reside at A Better Way, located at 5822 West Monte Rosa. Then finally, on December 26th, you were approved to reside at Brand New Life, located at 48 North Hunt Drive in West Mesa, that you didn't have no other residence. So why would you have so many residences during that period of time?
Sir, because I'm seriously mentally ill, and because I'm not from Arizona. I'm from New Mexico, where all of my family is. I don't have, at that time, a permanent residence in Arizona, because I'm seriously mentally ill, I'm not allowed to work full-time. I went to the program at 2501 Beavery, completed that entire program there. Went to the one in Scottsdale, completed that program there. I forgot where to sell from there, but I requested to go back to Beavery into their program and complete the program once again to get back into the counseling and therapy and help that I was getting there. Like I said, I'm seriously mentally ill. Each of these places that I've been to, I'm doing community bridges, which is, I'm on Act 299, which is the Center for Community Treatment, the highest level of seriously mental health care in the facility. They are the ones that got me into each of these places. The only place that they did not get me into is the one on, I believe it's Monterey. My friend Pete Nasca, he's a military veteran, he's an old Army Ranger. He was at the Veterans Hospital at Divinity School. I was taking care of him. He lost both of his legs. He was at the ICU at first, and then he was at the community living complex.
Uh-huh.
He had a two-bedroom apartment. The last one that I saw my parole officer, and the reason that I bought it is she said that if I moved out of my last residence, which was the address that I gave her there, that she would violate me. There was a parole officer supervisor who said the same thing. So, whenever his voucher was paid for that two-bedroom apartment by the military, by the Veteran Affairs, okay, because he's a veteran. Because he had surgery and he could not go back to the apartment, the rent on that apartment was no longer paid like it was supposed to on that apartment in the way it was supposed to. So we were told that we cannot be there. Because my parole officer had already told me I am not allowed to move one more time, that I would be violated. I did stop taking my medications, stop calling my mental health provider, stop tracking them. I spent a lot of time at the VA hospital talking to them, trying to figure out what to do. They're talking about, you know, we're going to get away and everything else. I went down to CAS, which is where they told me to go, trying to get a bed, which is Central Arizona Shelter Services. Because they said, if I move, they said, you have until Monday, go to CAS, and then report into us. At CAS, they would not give me a bed because they didn't have any available at that time. That can be verified also. My friends, both of them at the VA hospital, told me, look, go in, get back on your medication, and you have an address to pull up to come to. They want me, instead of going through, like as you see my past prisoner work, my past record, I've done a lot of illegal things in my life whenever I was younger. All that stuff from 2003, was done in the same day. Okay.
All right. It looked like in 2000.
So now I'm trying to get a job working for the VA hospital as an orderly, taking care of my two military friends who will give me a place to live that I can control to, and I will have a job whenever I get out there, except when I'm doing things legal.
Okay, so
I turn myself into service.
So at the halfway houses that you were staying, there's a note in here on the sanctions that said you burned your bridge at each of the halfway houses you stayed at. What happened at the halfway houses, sir?
Because, like I said, community bridges is the one that sent me to each of those halfway houses. Community bridges, like I said, is my serious mental provider. They are the one that was supposed to cover me being able to stay at those places. They never covered the rent at any of those places. They just made me move place to place.
Okay.
Community bridges was supposed, because I'm SMI, I was supposed to get a voucher and to get an apartment, a one-bedroom apartment to stay in, and they're supposed to give me my social security because I'm disabled. They didn't do any of that. Instead, they called each place and had me go from place to place to place to place, and had me go across there and have to offer us from new places to live. Once those places found out they weren't getting paid, CBI was come pick me up and then drove me to another place.
So
that's how my bridges got burned. I don't want to deal with anybody again. I want to go out and have, like I said, a legal job working. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to do burn places again and again because several mental provider for your bridges told me you have to do this to get our services.
Okay.
And to do this to get our medications. So I went to Kells, which is another mental health provider. The guy there, his name is David. He used to be the one that ran my start 1999 for CBI and quit working there because of all the things that they were doing. He said, what I should do is, he also is the one that called with my parole officer with me, and because I want to talk to them and turn myself in, we call up my parole officer. Whenever I get released, whether you guys allow me on parole or not, first thing I'm going to do is, I'm going to sign off with community bridges, so I'm not with them any longer, so I can go, as I said, I'm going to go to jail so I can pay and legally get the same medication that I need. And I have two, like I said, military friends that I can have a legal job working as their roommate, taking care of them. And both of them have a legal license that they're going to go to.
Okay, so,
my plan is.
Mr. Longhorn, sir, how are you doing on your medications now?
I'm stable on it right now. Whenever I first came in, I went to watch by the way. Because when I first came in, I was, like I said, I would not fully stable on my medication because I wasn't getting into CPR. I wanted to get stable on my medication, so I went to watch so I could see a doctor right away and get stable on my medication. I've been stable on sensor.
Okay.
And I will be on the exact same medications when I go out. I can go out, like I said, I'm the counselor for meeting bridges, so I don't have to deal with all the past stuff like you just mentioned, go from halfway house to halfway house. You know what I mean? Where I go to Terros, they'll help me sign away from CBI Davis, like I said, is the one that I have his card from Terros. He will release me from CBI. I get my medications through them, and I will have a legal job whenever I get out.
Okay.
And a legal resident for military veterans.
So, Mr. Longhorn, you was in Wisconsin for 37 days. So why did you stop contacting with your PO?
Because like I said, sir, the reason I stopped going to my PO is because my parole officer and my parole officer supervisor told me, if you move one more time, we will violate you.
Okay.
The last address that I had given him, like I said, was supposed to be covered by a voucher, which he got through. We were told we are not allowed to live there, so I had no choice but to leave that place knowing I would be violated. There was nowhere I could go because I would already be violated as soon as I told them I'm moving. So I left. I did not call in, and I went and talked to my friends to try to figure out what to do.
Okay, it looks like you had...
I wasn't on my site medication because I had no way to get it.
Okay, looks like you had 20 UAs while you were out, sir. 15 of them came back negative, and then the rest of them looks like you just failed to submit a sample. Why did you submit? And this is going back on February, March, April, May, all the way, and then one in November. And then it says that you self-admitted to your PO that you had been using meth.
Sir, on all those UAs, I went to all the ones she told me to. The rest of them, she did swab in the office. I'm like, she told me not to call in the test, that she would do the UAs by swabbing my cheek in person.
Hmm.
Even the phone number that she gave me a call, that at first it was tapped and that it was on color system. She changed that. Every one of those that I went into, I did not produce. I have never produced a jury UA in.
Well, what about the ones that you missed that you didn't take, sir? There was five that you didn't take.
I would never file a UA, sir. Even now, I would never file a UA.
So why is it in here that the PO said that you self-admitted to using that?
I did not self-admit to using any drugs, sir. The only drugs that I have done since I've been out is the psych medication that I've been on. Most of my time, even whenever I was gone for those days, I was at the VA hospital, sir. You cannot walk into Veterans Hospital where you are recorded and on video cameras, dealing with military security, police officers, and everything else. Being high on drugs, sir. Dealing with drugs there. It is recorded on camera 24 hours a day. And those videos can be pulled up and the people that Sammy talked to, son, that I came in, I even showed my IDs to people there a few times where they reported as friends at a couple times. And as I said, my friends are military, ex-Army Rangers and stuff like that. They can vouch for me and what I do.
Okay. Mr. Ryan, let me see if the board has any additional questions for you. Mr. Quinones. Yes,
thank you, Mr. Johnson. Mr. Ryan, pardon me, Logan?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Just a quick question. You're from New Mexico?
Yes, sir.
Did you state that you didn't, hold on, did you state that you didn't have support here in the valley aside from your military friends? Do you have any family or support in New Mexico?
Yes, sir. That's where I tried to get my parole officer to let me
Oh, okay. So when you're released, whether it's in 2 months or whether it's today on community supervision, is your plan to return to New Mexico eventually?
Yes, sir. I want to go back there. That's where all my family is.
Okay. So when you're free and clear of community supervision, you're going to return to New Mexico?
No. I've been trying since I got out of prison October 13, 2017 to go to New Mexico. My parole officer told me it was not an option.
Okay.
It is not possible. I said...
Okay, sir. You've answered the question. You're talking quite a bit. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Johnson.
Yes, sir. I apologize.
All right, sir. We're coming up on a conclusion of your hearing, sir. Is there anything else you'd like to say to the board prior to the board going into discussion?
I appreciate you guys' patience with me. Sorry, I am, like I said, that's mine. I do talk a lot because I have ADHD. I apologize. I appreciate the time that you guys are taking and the consideration that you have. Like I said, I want to get out there and do the right thing and have a better life instead of trying to... You know, if the government's paying my way, I want to go out there and work, take care of other people, then put their life on the line to take care of our government.
All right. Okay, sir, we're going to go into discussion. While the board's in discussion, I'm going to ask you to remain on the phone, sir, so that you can hear the conversation taking place amongst the board. We will make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate your community supervision. I will get back to you with the board's determination. However, stay on the line, sir, but remain silent, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, the board's now going into discussion. Mr. Logan says that he's seriously SMI, that the reason that he stayed at all the different facilities was because they were supposed to pay his rent and they didn't, and they just would pick him up and transfer him over to another location where he was. So he stayed at several places. He says that he's from New Mexico, that he doesn't have any family here, that he really can't work right now full-time because of his SMI status, but he does have some friends at the VA that he says he could do some work for them, and it kind of sounds as though more as a caretaker. He did self-surrender himself to Department of Corrections. Looks like he has a release date of May 23rd or 2019. He says that he is stabilized on his drugs that he's taking now while he's in the hospital. I think it's going to be best just for Mr. Logan's sake if, you know, so he don't be out, because he was actually homeless a couple of times where he actually had to go to CAS. But I think it'd be best for him to go ahead and complete his time. He has a few months left. He'll be out on May 23rd, actually about 2 months left. He'll be out May 23rd, 2019. At that time, he won't be on any parole or community supervision. And hopefully he can stay there and get stabilized on his medications and continue to be stabilized on his medication so that when he's released, then he doesn't have any of that parole and he'll be able to travel and hopefully maybe go back to Mexico where he can get some stabilization, some family support, and help him get himself together and have his medications all together so that he won't stray away, but definitely where he can get some family support. That's my feelings at this time. However, I am willing to listen to the rest of my colleagues. Seeing no comments coming from the colleagues, that I am going to move to revoke the community supervision of Mr. Logan, find that he was delinquent, he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agreed or agreed?
Motion by second by Ms. Rittenhouse. Agreed, Dr. Wright, Mr. Miller, Mr. Quinones. Okay, Mr. Logan.
Yes, sir.
So the board
is
ready.
Is there a way I can appeal? Is there a way I can appeal this decision?
No, there's no
way, shape, or form.
No, sir, there's no way to appeal this decision. The board voted to revoke your community supervision. So you have about 2 months left. If you can get stabilized on the medication and you don't have any family here in Phoenix and you are staying from place to place, you say you want to get a job, maybe you can go back to Mexico when you release. You won't be on any parole or community supervision, sir. And you'll be able to travel and hopefully go back to Mexico and get stabilized so that you don't have this type of situation that you have here in Phoenix. Mr. Lowen, I do want to thank you for taking the time and opportunity to appear before this board. However, that is going to conclude your hearing at this time. So don't hang the phone up, just set it down so the next person can come in, okay?
Yes, sir.